It's on. Cool. Oh, man. Now I got an echo. It's just like last week, except it was English than German, not English and English. Oh, good. It stopped. All right. We good? No, only God is good. All the time. Very, very different places we were in culturally. And it's kind of humorous. It was Spain first. You ate a lot. You ate late at night. When it was time to go someplace, that got talked about, that it was time to go someplace. But things happened and things got done. Then to Germany. You ate at the same exact time, and the kids were in bed early, and any meeting started on time. I had a timer for the message, how long it was. It was two very different cultures. And I felt equally at home in both because I was among brothers and sisters in Christ. We were among brothers and sisters in Christ. They sang some of the same songs we sing. But in Spain, it was in Spanish, and in Germany, it was in German. They opened the same Word of God, even though it was in their translation. Their ministries looked like the ministries that we're familiar with here. Their Sunday morning meeting, other than the start time and finish time, looked like what's going on here, because it's the same Word going forth. Same God, same Savior. Following the Savior's design for his church. I asked for 2 Timothy to be read this morning before this time of sharing an update, which that's what this is this morning. I didn't want to do a tiny little update and then a sermon, and I didn't want to do a really long update and then a sermon. So it's more of a medium-length update slash sharing from the Word along the way, and you're praying that I'll make any sense since I feel like I'm in a very different location and reality right now, mentally and physically. But it was the same Word going forth. 2 Timothy 2 was actually a passage from it, was the content of the graduation sermon in León. We got to go there. But generally speaking, what's going on here in 2 Timothy 2 is Paul was instructing Timothy to continue the ministry that Paul was modeled for him, to take the same Word of God, proclaim that same Word of God, and particularly to build into faithful men who will in turn entrust that same message to others. We're not looking for fads. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. God knows what he's doing. And what Paul did is he planted churches, and what he established in those churches and what the other apostles were doing is what is supposed to be going on today. And though there are different cultures and different scenarios, different governments, different opposition, different challenges, it's the same good news that Jesus, the Son of God, has been risen from the dead. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Paul says, not that it's his gospel, that it's about him, but it's the message he proclaimed. It's the same message that's supposed to go forth. And verse 9 there of 2 Timothy 2 says this, even though Paul is in chains as a criminal, the word of God is not bound. And that's in essence how the book of Acts ends. Paul was in prison, but he is freely preaching the Word of God. And it's that same Word that went forth and is going forth in the ministries there in Santiago de Compostela, something like that, and in Berlin and throughout Europe, in Berea, in León. Same ministry, same Word. When we turned to 2 Timothy, that second night we were there, we had an interpreter sitting behind us, and he was whispering the interpretation at the back of our heads, so we got to follow along, and it followed the text. And we're singing a song. Well, other people are singing because it's their language. And I'm going, I know this song. And sure enough, it's a song we sing. But for some reason, I couldn't sing it, the words. It was weird. But it's the same. And that's not because we're a cult, not because we've been brainwashed or been handed down exactly how to do things, but generally what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to go about it is in God's word. And when we follow that, even though our start time might be different, our language is different, our culture different, as local churches, we're going to look the same. Same problems, same trials, same challenges, some different challenges, some different trials, but same God, same gospel. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And entrust this truth to others. Make disciples of the nations. That's what they're doing. That's what we're doing. So even though it was what we experienced was different from our culture here, and those two cultures were different from each other, we were very much at home because they are children of the living God through faith in Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. What I want to do this morning is walk you through very quickly just some highlights, some photos, and a couple of short videos of where we were and what went on. And then in the end, I'm going to return to a message, not a message like a sermon I heard, but a message that was true throughout all of what I heard, we heard, both in León, in Santiago, and in Berlin. And it's the same message that we need to be mindful of and hear, and keep at the forefront of our goals as we are ministering here. If you would, though, before I go any further, join me in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word, and it is not bound. And may it not be bound this morning by any hardened hearts, darkness of thinking, harbored sin. Father, break through in each one of our hearts this morning and continue your work in those whom you've already granted faith, and grant faith where you haven't, that more would come to call you Father through faith in Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And Father, give me clarity and brevity of speech and explanation, as I am definitely weak, weaker than even usual, but you're all powerful. It's your word, your message, your people, both here, there, and in every country. And may your word be driven home this morning, even though it's not exactly being preached. May it be driven home through what I share about where we've been the past couple of weeks. That you would be glorified and honored and your people blessed and built up in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to give a go looking at some couple of photos and videos in chronological order, though they may have to flip around. And there we are. That is the front of the building in León. And we arrived on, I don't even know when we arrived, Thursday? I think I skipped a night or something, and then met up with my wife in Frankfurt. We flew to Spain, Santiago de Compostela. But then on Friday, we drove 3 hours to León, where Berea Seminary is, and where the church is also that sent Tan and Karin out to where they are. We drove there in this van with the whole Molina family, including the 5 boys, and we drove to León, and it is at the The graduation took place at the campus where the church meets. Training takes place off-site, but it was here at this location that on Saturday, we went to the graduation. Hopefully the next clip is going to be inside the building and what we were seeing. Yeah, there it is. So I believe that is Tan up front. And then you can see to your right all the graduates sitting there. And Tan drives to Lyon every 6 weeks to be involved with teaching these students Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, something like that. So it's kind of modular. It enables them to go back to where they live and minister. And each of the men who are involved in teaching at the seminary, Berea Seminary there, are also responsible for knowing a handful of students, knowing them, not just grading their papers, but actually knowing them and being involved in their lives. That was super encouraging to hear. We're sitting in the back, as you can tell from where the photo's taken. And again, we have an interpreter sitting behind us speaking English in our ears as everything being said up front is in Spanish. Let's go ahead to the next clip. That's Tan up front speaking at the graduation on that Saturday in Lyon. Next one. This is now, we went back Saturday night, 3 hours back to Santiago, and this is Sunday morning. The church there meets in a rented room at a hotel. It works out okay. It's the best they could do. One of the major obstacles in Spain is finding a place to meet. Legally, they have to be allowed to meet, but you know how it works. Excuses are made or whatever. So it would be great if they had a better meeting place, but that's it. It's a room. There's the chairs set up. The first clip, the front of the building in Lyon, is amazing. Some of you may remember a handful of years ago, we were praying for that. They were deeded the land for 99 years and allowed to do with it whatever they wanted to for the purpose of having an evangelical Protestant church, not a Catholic church. And they had to pay for the building. But back in Santiago, they have this rental facility, and it's working out okay. Originally, the way Tan and Karin ended up there was they were looking to church plant somewhere in Spain, and the couple of places they were looking at kind of shut down. And then one of the other brothers who teaches at the seminary there in Lyon was an hour north of this town, and he invited Tan to come with him and meet with the Bible study that this brother, who is leading a church an hour away, was leading once a month in Santiago. And so Tan went, he taught the lesson, and said, okay, we'll just come here. Last place he ever thought he was going to live in Spain. They have family and friends in Lyon. That's where Tan was raised. Karin's from a state north of us, Seattle. Washington would be the state. But they're there. And started out with a couple of committed Christians from the Bible study. It's grown a bit. Spain is Catholic, but it's secular Catholic. It's just basically liberal, like here. And so the battle is similar that it is here, so to speak, or the challenges are similar. Next clip, that's what it looked like on Sunday morning 2 weeks ago. I spoke in English, and then while I wasn't speaking, Tan was speaking in Spanish. It was a challenge because I was actually preaching from Hebrews, surprise, surprise, and I couldn't follow through on my thoughts. I had to pause. It reminded me of the telegraph, stop, you know, or not telegram, where be on Sunday, stop, whatever, stop. And that's how it was. I didn't say stop, but I had to stop. And most of you know me, that's hard for me. I get going and it's exciting and I want to lay it all out, but I couldn't do that. I had to stop and wait for Tan to translate, because it wasn't simultaneous where people had headphones. It was live up front. And I always started out with greetings from all of you back here in Santa Rosa. I preached from Hebrews chapter 6, and he went ahead and translated. The sermon was an hour long, but think about that. That means I spoke for 30 minutes, and he spoke for 30 minutes. It was a challenge, but I believe it was a blessing. From what I heard, it was to Ton and his family, and then afterwards, we had lunch at the Molina's home with one of the original couples from Santiago, who was a part of that Bible study, and even though they did not speak much English, through translation and the conversations we had, again, just right at home with fellow believers, and it was a total blessing. Next clip, that is the Molina family. On your right, of course, is in the back is myself and Castine. Down in front is Martin, red shirt, Isaac, checkered shirt, Oliver. Your right, Matthias or Eric, I can't tell because it's blurry. Then in the flowered shirt in the middle, is either Eric or Matthias, or all those five boys, and then Karin's there kind of in the middle and Ton in the background. They will be with us in late July. I believe he'll be preaching here on a Sunday, and then they'll be staying in Liam's house during the month of August as they're traveling around and visiting churches that support them here from the U.S. There's no way that little church can yet support a vocational pastor and rent the facility. But there's we're standing there in front of the sign that they put up in the rental hotel room. Next clip should be a video. There you go. Going on here. Different challenges, similar challenges. What I want to close with is the message as a theme, so to speak, that I heard in both locations. From leadership, church, Bible training centers, both locations, as well as from the student testimonies. So at the graduation, there was a lot of student testimonies about their time there, what they learned, generally speaking, how it went. And then a couple of them also shared back at Lighthouse Sunday morning meeting. And what I heard again and again that was so incredibly encouraging is that the goal was not simply to get the information of God's word to people, whether it be at the Bible Training Center or through the church Sunday morning or any of the ministries. It was that in getting the word of God to people, hearts would be changed. First with the students, as far as the training centers go. It was not about academic knowledge. I know all this now. Hey, I've been through all those books of the Bible and I can give you the overview. I've been through preaching, practicum, or whatever the training was. In both locations, I heard that same exhortation or comment that it's about getting at the heart. And that is true for us and needs to be true for us all the time. If we don't get at the heart, we're going to end up legalists. It's just about information and rules and what to do and not to do. Or we'll excuse our sins and we'll be living a life of rebellion but saying everything's good. You're going to go one way or the other unless you deal with what's going on in the heart. And so in closing, I want to take us to James chapter 4. It's to me, to my memory, which isn't so good this morning. Not that it's better yesterday morning or tomorrow morning. We'll see. What was I going to say? Just kidding. James chapter 4 is one of those passages that clearly points to our issue being a heart issue. Now, Jesus does that too in the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it said, do not commit murder, but if you hate someone, you're guilty of murder, right? It's what's going on in the heart. And of course, Jesus said, and it's not what goes into us that makes us unclean, but what comes out, because what comes out of us comes out of the heart. But James chapter 4, verse 1, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Well, our first answer is, well, they do. It's their fault. I'm not picking on the young people here. We all do it. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. He's speaking to Christians there. He's speaking about the darkness in their hearts that is in all of our hearts, but for the grace of God. And it is our hearts that we are to continually be concerned about. That we would be learning and growing in our understanding of the Word of God and our knowledge of Him and knowing Him and trusting Him and obeying Him. Absolutely. We're not saved by good works, but we are saved for them. And yet we can be doing all the right good works. And if our hearts are in the wrong place, it's what Jesus said of the Israelites, referring to what was said in Isaiah chapter 6. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We want to grow in our understanding, our knowledge of God, take classes, go to seminary, come to Sunday school, 9 a.m. hour, do Bible studies, hear the Word of God proclaimed on Sunday, hear it read, read it ourselves, spend time in it, memorize it, absolutely. But we've got to be on guard for our hearts. We have to be realistic and honest about what's going on in our hearts. And if we're not, no one's fooled, particularly not God. And so to hear, especially at the training level, to hear these students say that their hearts were changed. One guy said, I came in thinking I knew it all. Usually that's all too often what seminary graduates think when they graduate. But instead it humbled him. And that's exactly what should happen when we're in the Word of God. Verse 10 says, we're to humble ourselves before the Lord and let him exalt us. The way we humble ourselves is being honest with him about what's going on in our hearts, our passions and our desires. Notice this passage is pretty blunt, but it's not condemning. It's assessing the situation like any good doctor would. There's a disease, there's a problem, here's the treatment, let's get at it, right? There's a problem, and it's our hearts. We see the outworking of that when we rebel against God, when we quarrel, when we argue, when we gossip, when we backbite, when we say foul things, respond with anger. We see the outworking of the issue. Those are the symptoms. The issue is the heart and what's going on in the heart. And it is the heart, then, that must be addressed and continually and not neglected. And so I was greatly encouraged that in all the training that was going on, the heart was not being neglected, but it was specifically being addressed. And I turn us to James because of how clear it is that it's a heart issue there. How do we address it? By confessing it. Once again, 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, he He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The question is not, are we failing to trust God in any way? That's what sin is. But how are we doing that? And what's going on in our hearts? May we confess that continually and humble ourselves before God as we do that. May we go to the Word continually and regularly together Sunday morning in Bible studies on our own and ever pray that He would address our hearts and change our hearts. That what would come out of our mouths, that what we would do with our hands, where we would go, what we would watch, would honor Him, but not out of rote legalistic obedience, but as the overflow of changed hearts, which is what the gospel alone does and what the Christian life is to be a continual process of, a changing of our hearts. Join me in prayer. Father, thank you indeed for that encouragement that it was to me. I pray that this brief update, these highlights would give everyone here this morning a taste of what Casting and I were a part of the past 2 weeks, that all here this morning would be encouraged by what you were doing among your people in other tribes, of other tongues, of other cultures, and also exhorted as I was to be on guard for our hearts and not neglect our hearts in addressing what's going on in them. And I pray, Father, that through our time here this morning, you will have done that all the more in each one of us. Reveal to us what is in our hearts, that we would confess it to you and walk humbly before you, that you would transform our hearts and our minds, having that forgiveness that is in Christ alone, our once and for all sacrifice and Savior who is before you right now interceding for us. Father, work in us that our hearts would be more fully for you each day, that our lives would reflect your goodness and your glory all the more each day, which is to our blessing, our benefit for our good, to the blessing and benefit and good of others around us, in our home, in our neighborhoods, at work, here, wherever, whenever. And it's for your glory, which you alone are worthy of. All praise, glory, and honor are yours. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.